hockey insider and play-by-play announcer for the Creston Valley Thundercats, Eric Rice Bowl Blow. And, you know, whenever it's summertime, I imagine hockey players and coaching staff and scouts are, you know, sitting on the river, sipping on a Palm Bay, you know, getting their suntan on. But apparently it's not the case.
You know, it's not the case. They're actually freezing inside of rinks, scouting day after day. And that's something that Nick Redding did countless times over the summer. You know, he didn't call Spokane home for very long over the June, July, August months. And he's had spring camps in Calgary and Edmonton and just general scouting trips to see players. And he was quite active.
He mentioned that before the season even ended, I did my exit interview with Nick Redding, and he was definitely talking about hosting camps near Calgary. And with all these camps in Alberta, can we expect to see a more Berta boy roster, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Thundercats and really the Eddy Mountain Division have always pulled a lot from Alberta. So we're going to see a lot of Calgary and names as well. But one thing I think Creston will see that we haven't seen much in the past is a lot more Americans. Now, we're used to the Jesse Collins. We've had Andrew Clark for a year and mm-hmm. everything like that. Terrell Thompson's on the team. But with Nick's dad coaching and working at an academy in Coeur d'Alene, I think that brings a whole new avenue to the Thundercats, a whole new prospect pool that Nick's going to try and, you know, take his resources from.
Yeah, I mean, the Redding family's got some pretty yeah. deep roots in yeah. Spokane with a team, it seems like, in every single division of hockey.
Pretty much, pretty close.
Wow, okay. So from what I gather, these camps have turned into arguably the largest team assembled, which now there's cuts being made, but from what you've told me earlier, there was up to, at one point, 60 people gunning for a position for the Creston Valley Thundercats.
Well, the main camp had over 60. I would hazard a guess at around the 75 number, give or take. Some players make it last minute. Some players can't last minute. That always happens. But it was quite a large camp, a complete turnaround from what we saw last season at the same time, which I think goes to show how much scouting Nick was actually able to do. And it was a camp that showed compete from start to finish. Five different teams playing each other.
Wow.
The games went to, I think, 9 o'clock, 9:30 on Saturday night. And it was truly some great hockey, even on the beginning games.
And it creates a culture for competitiveness. And what I really like about it too is, you know, where it's a completely different, I want to say sport, but like, it's like the sport of GMing, where you, in one league, you have your assets and you have to trade. And you, scouting is a huge part of it, but it looks like in Junior B, in the KIJHL, you have the opportunity to get these young guns come in and really show people what they got. And it doesn't matter, you know, how some asset was traded away, you know, last season, months ago. If you can find a diamond in the rough in one of these camps, whatever bad deal or deal that went sour in the past, completely erased and forgotten about because you just found a new stud.
Yeah, well, with Junior B being a grassroots league and a very good stepping stone to Junior A and sometimes even the WHL, trades are for players' rights, which means if he comes back to Junior B, he'll play with you, but, you know, chances are he might be moving up, which is fantastic to see. And the fact that those rights get moved around so often and those players don't show up just shows how good of a league the KIJHL really is. But, yeah, in those camps, you're really looking to find, like you said, that diamond in the rough that might negate the trade for rights and that might negate losing a player who wants to go back home. And it shows how important scouting really is because a lot of teams don't have the financial capabilities to promise sticks and shirts and skates and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And they don't have assets like first round, second round picks. So it's truly what the head coach and GM does in the offseason that gets your team running come September.
Okay, well, let's talk actual hockey. Now, you've seen a few preseason games. Oh, wow, someone's calling in. Where were we? Oh, yeah, we had preseason games.
Real hockey.
I was gone, and I was unfortunately unable to see them. I was in Sweden, yeah. But from what I gather, we got some high-scoring, high-action, fast-paced hockey, and it looks like Creston won two of their three games.
Yeah, just a comment on the type of hockey. Some of the preseason games we saw this so far had more compete, more energy than some of the regular season games that I saw last year. And I think that's so important because you mentioned culture just a few minutes ago. And if that culture starts in camp, continues in the preseason, it'll stay in the regular season and the playoffs.
Excellent. Now, we got our next game on the 13th, and the roster has been cut a little bit. You got to separate the chaff from the wheat, as they say. And we're looking at, well, we don't have 60 players anymore.
No. There's one more preseason game that wasn't originally on the schedule. The Cats are actually going to Grand Forks on this Saturday, the 7th.
Okay.
Whatever the Saturday is.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, of course, tomorrow.
So they're going to Grand Forks
going
tomorrow.
To Grand Forks.
Good to know.
Yeah, and the reason it wasn't on the schedule, most teams get four, but because the Cats don't have ice for this entire week, because of the fall fair, they've been practicing in Cranbrook, and Nick just decided to throw in an extra game.
Wasn't there ice issues in Cranbrook, like not that long ago? Like, I heard there was a problem with their...
Possibly.
Interesting. Maybe I'm thinking of a different arena.
There isn't two arenas there for sure.
Okay. Well, so they've been practicing in Cranbrook, and they're going to go to Grand Forks.
Yeah, for the final game, which incidentally is where a familiar face plays now, and I don't know how... We can't really get into much names, because, like I said, there's a lot up in the air, but two names from last year that I know have been traded have been Jake McCauley to Princeton and Jordan DeGau to Grand Forks.
Our boy DeGau,
Dougie. Yeah, he's gone.
He was injured at one point, and
he dealt with a lot of injuries last year and consistency issues coming from those injuries. And Grand Forks is going to give him a lot of playing time. And actually, he scored in their first preseason game.
That's good to know, because we were gunning for him.
Yeah.
All last season. Yeah. Unlike all the other players. Oh, okay. So they're going to play that game, and then we're going to have our regular season home opener on the 13th.
The season opener on the 13th in Spokane.
That's in Spokane.
And the home opener on the 14th.
On the 14th.
Against Nelson.
That is going to be a big game, because Nelson, there's just something about hating the Leafs that it doesn't matter whether you're in Toronto or in Nelson. You just got to hate the Leafs.
Yeah, and they always put together a great squad over there, and so they're always a tough team, and I think the Cats had a pretty good game against them last season in Nelson, but weren't able to come up with a win. So this year, you know, the returning faces will be gunning to make that different.
Cool. All right. Well, I don't want to ask for predictions, because it's a great way to send jinxes. But in terms of how the team is going to look comparatively to last season, Do you have any predictions on which direction Nick Redding is moving forward with in terms of assembling his final? How many people can he have on a roster in the KI?
Like, you know, from the start of the season, I'm actually not too sure, but I know the roster cutoff deadlines are December 1st and January 10th, where I think you have to cut down to 25 and 23 players, respectively.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but...
Well, you're being recorded.
I'm being recorded.
It's too
so I'm probably,
late.
I'm probably quoted already.
It's okay. We're all open to learn here.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the original question. What do you see for this 25 to 23 roster moving forward?
I see a team that's going to give the fans something to cheer about every game, and sometimes that was hard to come by last season. But the compete level that I've seen, the energy, and just the sheer will I've seen in some of the players so far in preseason has really given me hope that this season, you know, some of the games that they might have lost 2-1, 3-1, they'll be winning because they just don't quit. They're not going to let up, play the full 60 minutes, which is
we've seen a few collapses last season where, you know, they'd be in it for the first two, you know, periods and then...
The
third period, just like, what happened? And it I feel like there's that wear and tear where some teams can play that full 60, and there's some teams that, you know, missing opportunities, golden opportunities over and over and over again can really have an impact on your heart, but also physically that can impact you as well.
Well, I think the big thing about resolve with this team is that on the Sunday, whatever day it was, the second, I believe.
Sure.
Let's say it's the Sunday game against Beaver Valley. They lost 9-4. and they were losing 4-2 after two periods. So that was one of those collapses type of deals that we saw last season. And then the next game, Tuesday, against the exact same team in Beaver Valley, they were up 4-2 and managed to keep the score and pull out that game.
Excellent.
I believe it was 6-4 or 6-5 final score. And so, you know, two very, very similar rosters on the ice.
Yeah.
2 days
and,
after
and I'm
each
sure
other.
The coach was, you know, Coach Redding was experimenting with different players, different lines, and that's why we have a preseason. I'm really excited to see, you know, what we have lined up for the 13th and the 14th. I, of course, Jensen Shields will be there, and we're going to have Klein Felt and yourself, Eric Blow. And if you're unable to make it to these games in person, well, we got Playful Screen.
Playfulscreen.com, $9 a game. We're worth it.
Yeah, I think so. You get great commentary like this. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in and doing this interview with myself. Do you have any last comments regarding the Thundercats?
I mean, I got a lot of comments. How much time do you have?
No, just one. Just one.
No, you know, I'm excited. I think excitement's, if I could boil it down to one word, excitement. Just based on what the former faces or the old faces, veteran faces are going to bring this year with a renowned team, and excitement to see what Nick Redding can do with the team that he scouted and brought together himself.
It really looks like
rather
his
inheriting
team.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not just inheriting a team, it's inheriting a team a month into this month and a half into the season when there was no coach or I cannot think of a worse start, and nothing on the players, but just in general, it was just a bad scenario. I don't think it's anybody's fault, but I'm really glad that we don't have that this year, and we can see what proper development, proper scouting, and an invested team looks like. And that's what you, if you come to our Johnny Busick Arena, will see as well.